Welcome to Opening Stage VGH, the video game history podcast for everyone. I'm your host, Dean Beaver, and I am once again joined by my lovely wife, Meredith.
Hello!
We are recording over Zoom, so the audio is going to sound as good as it can. I hope you guys are okay with that. If you're not, nobody's commented on anything, so here we are. We have a special guest in the with us today. He's been a good friend of mine for a fairly long time. Everybody, welcome my friend Chris Prennan to the show. Chris, welcome.
Hey man, what's up? It's good to see you. It's been some time, man. We were sipping bourbon on top of the world, basically on top of the Mercantile Exchange the last time we got together.
Yeah. I remember looking out at the train tracks with you, so that would be fun. And we were singing our song that we sing sometimes.
As always, as we do.
So we've got a lot to go over today. So we'll ask the questions quickly that we can. As with any guest that we have, please give us your life story in the span of a tweet.
My life story in a tweet. Okay. Born and raised South Sider. Lifelong Illinoisan. Wow, I stalled out. White Sox in Chicago over everything.
Yes!
Drink your vodka straight.
Let's be clear. It's not for me. It's not so much like pro White Sox as it is anti Cubs.
I'm pro White Sox.
That's right. I forgot that, man. I'd forgotten that, Meredith.
I was from New Orleans, so they made us pick. When I moved to Chicago, they were like, "You cannot be both. You have to pick Cubs or Sox."
Which is good because there's a movement of some Chicagoans and some newer Chicagoans and some people that moved from out of state because they might have a secondary team or they might be from further, you know, from outside the tri-state like Wisconsin, Indiana, Illinois.
Yeah.
Because typically with that you'll get White Sox, Cubs, Brewers, and Cardinals.
Right.
If you have some people from further away or people from states who don't have a baseball team, they're like,
yeah,
oh, you know, I like that team.
We had a minor league team, but like, come on.
Hey, minor league baseball is... Minor league baseball is mad fun.
Can I ask what the New Orleans minor league team is?
The Zephyrs.
Oh, that's a good name. I like that.
Yeah.
That's the train, right?
Well, I think it's also... I think theirs is like the wind.
Oh, the west wind? Okay.
Yeah, the windstorm.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's a solid name.
Yeah.
I actually saw them play once, and it was... And this was... I'm old, so this was a while ago. But, like, it was like going to, like, a high school baseball game. Like, the field wasn't that great, and, like, there weren't that many people. But, yeah, so White Sox. So I picked the White Sox when I moved because at the time I lived in Rogers Park and rode the Red Line, and I freaking hated the Cubs fans so hardcore.
I moved to Nashville, and I still hate the Cubs
fans. I've gone to the
White
Sox games, and I gotta say, and I know I'm gonna get a lot of hate from Cubs people, but I gotta say, the White Sox people were nicer on the train.
Ooh.
They were not belligerent, they were not, like, in my way. They were seated like people wearing... They were wearing White Sox stuff, but they were just acting like normal people, not, like, drunk and... Anyway, I'll stop now. This is not what this is about. We're introducing
Yeah. Chris, if you could give us the quick and dirty version of your history with video games.
Okay, so I didn't have a console growing up until I was a working console, I should say. There was a funny story. We got a Genesis from a grade school friend that we could never get to work. There was some part that was missing.
Oh,
and it was far enough past the history that we couldn't ever get it fixed, which sucked because my godbrother, whom I would stay with sometimes, had a Genesis and had Sonic 2. So many people, shout out Ben Clark, who are huge Mario fans and Nintendo people, like swear by Nintendo. I grew up with Sonic and Genesis, and kids had the Genesis. Kids had Echo, kids had Aladdin, kids had Lion King.
Oh, we've talked about Echo the Dolphin on this.
Exactly. And so my godbrother, who I would stay with, who was like just going into high school and had smelly boy B.O. closet, I would go over to his place when my mom was going out of town to babysit. And so I associate Sonic 2 with the smell of his room, which smelled like a gym locker. And the Tillmans always had Pop-Tarts for breakfast. So I think of Pop-Tarts and smelly boy closet and all the songs from Sonic 2. But we grew up with computer games. It was my mom and I, and we had Windows 3.1. So we had the 3.5-inch, 5.5-inch floppy disk games, and we had LucasArts, we had Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, which we could never ever beat. We had this really good DuckTales game that was really solid.
Carmen
San Diego.
That weird ass Triple Crown logo. And that coffee machine. That coffee machine where the cup came out and it turned on its side and the coffee just rolled off the cup.
And then later, we kind of oriented our living room in the apartment around the computer. It wasn't in the middle, but it was very much a focal point. And my mom discovered Monkey Island games. And somehow, I think just go to, like Saturdays, we'd go to this Calumet City suburb outside of Chicago, and they had Circuit City and Best Buy. And she would get stuff, we'd be running errands, we'd be like, hey, let's see if we can find a computer game. So we got The Curse of Monkey Island and played that game so much. So good.
I still need to play that one.
It's such a good game.
I've played a bunch of other LucasArts games, but I haven't played that one.
So we had that, and then my mom got me a red Game Boy, and a few, like, you know, the games you would buy at Funko Land that had no manual. So we had Mario Tennis, or Mario Baseball, Tetris, Blast. I got the special Pikachu Game Boy Color when Pokemon Yellow came out. That was Flames. That's the furthest I've ever gotten on Pokemon. Got to Vermilion City. And then we got a PlayStation 1, Spyro, Tony Hawk 2.
Ooh, Tony Hawk, I need to do an episode on that.
There was a really good James Bond game. I don't think it was any of the movie games.
Okay. I do vaguely remember like a not movie-based game, and everybody was freaking out because it was supposed to be like the sequel to GoldenEye, and everybody's gonna hate me after I say this, but like, GoldenEye sucks.
I'm bad at GoldenEye, so I agree with you. I was so bad at that game.
Okay, so let's get into the story for today. Chris, I'm sure you know the format by this point. Meredith certainly does, but I've got a little book report that I wrote. If you have any questions whatsoever, funny or dumb or smart or galaxy brain, like I know that you have, like, feel free to ask. Just stop me, interrupt me, and we'll go on from there. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So just ask or say whatever comes into your mind, and it'll be great. And I do want to give a content warning at the top of this. This episode will contain homophobic slurs and animal abuse.
Wait. Okay, is this like your freaking
Dean takes off the mask, it's Joe Rogan.
Let's put all of the bad things in one podcast. Is there pedophilia as well?
No. We've circumvented that. We're not going to get into hentai games on this episode, but
that was an anime. I was thinking of something different. My bad.
Anyway, Electronic Arts was founded by ex Apple employee Trip Hawkins on May 27th, 1982. The company focused on pioneering new innovations in gaming, primarily with home computers. The company was famous for promoting the programmers and developers who worked on their games. So, like, a game wasn't necessarily just, like, I'm just throwing something out there. Like, It wasn't like table tennis. It was like Jude Law's table tennis or something like that. Their first major internally developed game was 1987's Skate or Die.
Skate or Die! I remember that game.
Yeah. I don't remember that game.
It's awful, but it was great for the time. After Skate or Die's success, Trip Hawkins' obsession with creating a sports simulation game led to EA signing a licensing deal with NFL coach and broadcasting personality John Madden to create an annual franchise of American football games. Each entry in the series would contain an updated lineup of teams from around the United States and give players the chance to choose their favorite team, choose plays, and even play an entire season. The game's success eventually led to EA creating an entire division of sports games, EA Sports, in 1991. EA Sports began as the Electronic Arts Sports Network, a fictional sports organization within the universe of their sports games. The name was changed to EA Sports after a trademark dispute with ESPN. Beginning with the Madden series of American football games, EA Sports went on to publish games centering on a variety of sports, including basketball, hockey, association football, mixed martial arts, golf, rugby, cricket, stock car racing, snowboarding, tennis, and the Mutant League games, a multi-sport franchise featuring mutants, aliens, and robots. John Madden was featured solely on the cover of the Madden NFL games until 1997, when he began sharing the cover with up-and-coming athletes in the fields. Garrison Hurst joined the San Francisco 49ers in 1997 as a running back. He quickly rose to stardom, setting the franchise record for yards in a season and combined rushing and receiving yards. He performed one of the longest runs in NFL history when he scored a game-winning touchdown during overtime against the New York Jets. Hurst was featured on Madden NFL 1999. Hurst led the 49ers to the playoffs in 1998. I should note, just so everybody's aware, the Madden games are kind of like cars in that, like, the model number of a year comes out the year before. So when I'm talking about, like, a game for 99, like, really the season is going on in 98. So just keep that in mind. He suffered a broken ankle when playing against the Atlanta Falcons. Complications from the surgery to repair the injury resulted in the talus bone in his foot dying. While early prognoses predicted that Hurst would never play football again, he missed only two seasons before returning to the 49ers in 2001. After rejoining and leading the 49ers through a 12-4 season, he was awarded the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. In 2002, Hurst's teammate, Esera Tualo, admitted to being homosexual. Hurst made inflammatory statements about Tualo, stating, "Oh, hell no! I don't want any faggots on my team. I know this might not be what people want to hear, but that's a punk. I don't want any faggots in this locker room." Hurst apologized for his statements 3 weeks later. He was later traded to the Denver Broncos, where in his final season, he was considered a third-down specialist. He was not re-signed in 2005, ending his professional career.
Can I say something right quick?
You're supposed to say stuff constantly.
Yeah, you.
Oh, I was just listening. I thought it was a book report. I thought we were just supposed to.
Yeah, but you get to interrupt it and say whatever the hell you want.
Yeah,
the more the better.
Okay, so first of all, that particular word is. I can't, it's not there for me to say. I will say that. Second of all, it's wild that that's such a thing in football, because I would chance a guess that there is a very high percentage of players in the NFL who are in some way on the queer spectrum. I would put so much money on it.
Yep.
Just not only because of the fact that there are just that many people in the world who are on the queer spectrum, mm-hmm. but it's football, bro. Like, you're these are grown ass attractive men that in that close proximity to each other.
I mean, there's a lot of guys in really tight pants.
It's like these cats are not, and it's such a toxic culture in the first place of football.
Yep.
Where it's like, you know, play through the pain, you know, you're all sorts of this and that and the other. If you don't, if you can't, yeah,
like, be a man.
Like, if you can't hang, and you're hurt, Jesus and Mero, they put it in a good way. It's like,
except for soccer, in which you're encouraged to fake hurtness.
Well, men's soccer, women's soccer, they're out there like, oh man, that's, I like true. Twisted the heck out of my ankle. All right, we playing.
Yeah. Oh, women in soccer are fucking nuts.
But my guys, Dean Samaro, they were showing a video of Robinson Cano getting hit on the hand, I think, and ended up breaking his hand in baseball. And they were like, you know, it's baseball, you know, something like that happens, and he comes off the field, or they go to first, and they're like, oh, everybody is. Like, if that happened in football, people would be screaming from the stands, like, yo, get up, you bum! It's like, yo, come on, you're not hurt! So, yeah, football is this whole giant toxic culture of be a man and play through the pain. And then all of you always hear about football players who are like, nah, I'm not about that stuff. And it's like, bro, we know. Just I'm waiting for the dam to break.
Yeah.
Because Michael Sam was about the closest it got. And then his whole journey became kind of more of a Michael Sam branding thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really waiting for somebody to come out in the NFL and for that dam to just break, and football fans in general are going to have a reckoning with themselves. And that's what I really can't wait for, because it's less about the athletes. When that's something like that happens, it's less about the athletes. Mm-hmm. It's more about the fans of the sport, because it's all a big stage play, right? It's all theater.
Pretty much.
So the audience is the one that has to reckon with themselves, like, oh, do I want to keep watching this? Well, I can't wait, because a lot of people are either going to have to eat crow because their favorite player is going to come out as like, yes, I'm gay, or I'm bi, or I'm
binary. I mean, I know how
binary.
Like, I know it's, you know, I've never had to do that, come out in any way, but like, once it starts happening, I was talking about this, and I'm not going to go on too much of a tangent, but I was talking about this with a friend earlier today, actually, about how the truth is there, and so many people will just deny the truth, like, regardless of whether it's fact-checked or, like, in print, or, like, billions of Harvard scientists have, like, shown their, but it's because your brain relies on emotion to make decisions. Like, there was a study where men had been, or not men, but people had been damaged in a way that made their emotions not, they didn't have emotions anymore. But, okay. So they only operated on logic. So the hypothesis was they would make decisions much more quickly. But they couldn't make decisions. They would just logic back and forth. And they couldn't, because decision-making is so emotional. So
okay.
When I come down to it, it's like, if you see someone you care about, like, in a position that you have been totally against for some stupid emotional reason that you don't even probably understand because you've been indoctrinated, then my way of thinking is, like, the more of these beloved players that do come out, the more people are going to have to think about it. And, I mean, this is my probably idealistic hope, is that you think, oh, well, this person I love is this way, then maybe I should stop being a bigot. I don't know. That's probably way too simplistic. But, you know, it's always the hope that the more prevalent and the more present everything is, the more people who have inured themselves from it because of their own emotional shortcomings will be forced to face it and examine it in a logical and emotional way.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to get all...
No, I like that. I buy that.
I hate to derail us, but We need to keep going forward.
So we're like re-railing, really.
Yeah, you are re-railing. We derailed.
Oh.
I derailed.
Okay. Barry Sanders first joined the Detroit Lions in...
I was just making, like, victorious motions in his Zoom box.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, Barry Sanders is that dude.
Barry Sanders first joined the Detroit Lions in 1989, earning Rookie of the Year award that year. During his tenure with the team, Sanders went on to become one of the greatest running backs in the history of the sport. While he led the team to the playoffs five times during the 1990s, the team never made it to the Super Bowl. Barry Sanders was featured on the cover of Madden NFL 2000. In 1998, Sanders renewed his contract with the Lions for $34.56 million over 6 years.
I would like to someday have that much money, ever.
Me too!
I like that it's all sequential in the 3, 4, 5, 6. That's actually really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Being all mathy.
$34.56 million over the next 6 years with an $11 million signing bonus. When the Lions management demanded that Sanders return $5.5 million of the bonus, Sanders refused and was promptly sued by the Lions.
What?
Sanders continued to play while the lawsuit went on.
Why are they demanding he return it?
I don't know.
But you just...
It's a bunch of old white men telling a black athlete how to act.
Okay, that's like, I was going to say something, but that pretty much hit it on the head, so keep going.
Sanders continued to play while the lawsuit went on. Eventually, Sanders was told to pay
$1,833,333,
which is 1/6 of the bonus, with the remaining bonus to be paid over the course of the remaining 3 years of his contract.
Why the fuck are they... Why? I just still don't understand why they're asking him to return it.
I didn't get to Google that. I'm sorry.
I didn't get to Google it.
Sanders was set to be featured on the cover of Madden NFL 2000 shortly before announcing his retirement from the Detroit Lions and the NFL. EA quickly replaced Sanders with Green Bay running back Dorsey Levens.
What? That was a what?
An injury limited Levens from then on, leading to him being released by Green Bay in 2001.
Oh, I know what we're getting to. Yeah, I know what we're about to talk about. Yeah, baby.
Keep it under wraps for now. Eddie George was the first-round draft selection by the now Tennessee Titans in 1996, winning
Tennessee!
Rookie.
Yeah,
oh, Eddie George was a beast.
We have the Titans football.
I do want to say it might not seem like it, but I was kind of selective in the athletes that I'm going to talk about.
Okay, apparently, FYI, apparently he did return some of the money they wanted.
Yeah, 1/6.
And apparently it's because he only played 2 years of a 6-year contract.
That was probably because they wanted a lot of money back. Eddie George was a first-round draft selection by the now Tennessee Titans in 1996, winning Rookie of the Year award that year. He was considered integral in the Titans' championship appearance during Super Bowl 34. George was featured on the cover of Madden NFL 2001. Shortly afterwards, George missed a pass during the playoffs of that same season, ending an otherwise great season. Though George remained one of the Titans for 4 more seasons, there was a significant decline in his productivity. He never ran more than 1,200 yards per season afterwards. He was released from the team in 2004, following declining productivity, several toe and ankle injuries, and an unsuccessful salary negotiation. Dante Culpepper graduated from University. What was that?
He was fired. And you're supposed to hate the Vikings in Chicago and all that, but he was fired.
We'll get there.
I'm interested in what this "we'll get there" is.
Oh, Meredith, it's going to be crazy.
Dante Culpepper graduated from University of Central Florida and was quickly signed on to the Minnesota Vikings.
Are there any Saints players in this?
We'll get there. As a starting quarterback for the 2000 season, he found immediate success, leading the team to an 11-5 season and the conference championship game. Culpepper was featured on the cover of Madden NFL 2002. Shortly thereafter, Culpepper suffered a knee injury during a game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He struggled to perform for the following two seasons before a brief resurgence.
I've heard this name, Culpepper. I mean, it's not a name you forget.
In October of 2005, Culpepper participated in a sex party with 16 other teammates aboard two houseboats on Lake Minnetonka.
The Love Boat.
The Love Boat!
Prostitutes were flown in from Atlanta and Florida to participate, and the number was estimated...
Atlanta prostitutes?
And the number was estimated to be close to 100.
Prostitutes? You guys saw the Love Boat, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
The Sandy Show?
What was my man's name? Isaac.
That's why I said the Love Boat, and then I realized y'all are younger, and I was like, I hope that...
We had network TV, Meredith. Okay.
I know the South Park joke where they're like, the Catholic Boat!
I don't want to see that one.
Stephen Doyle, attorney for the shuttle company hired by the teammates, said that the sex acts engaged in included, quote, masturbation, oral sex, anal sex, woman on man, woman on woman, middle of the floor, middle of the couch, middle of the room.
I mean, how many, they had 100 prostitutes, what'd they expect? Like what'd they expect?
Culpepper was charged with indecent conduct, disorderly conduct, and lewd or lascivious conduct, along with three other teammates. However, charges were eventually dropped. Culpepper retired from the NFL in 2011.
Oh, man.
Michael Vick made a name...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Vick!
Made a name for himself as an electric quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons after graduating from Virginia Tech. On his pro day workout, Vick ran the 40-yard dash in 4.33 seconds. And was the 30th round draft pick by the Colorado Rockies in the 2000 Major League Baseball draft.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Even though he hadn't played baseball since 8th grade.
Now we're in baseball.
Not for long.
You keep saying that. Anyway.
Despite leading the Falcons to an unexpected playoff appearance in 2002, Vick suffered a fractured right fibula, which forced him to miss 11 games out of the 2004 season, and absolutely nothing else happened with Michael Vick. I'm kidding. I'm going to wait until Meredith gets back for this
one. I'm kidding. Oh, man. I think she's going to get it before we get to the end of it, because it's just obvious. It's like, oh, there's a theme with this.
All right.
You have to say, like, I know I had to run to the bathroom real quick, but you said somebody fractured their fibula and they weren't able to play 11 games.
I will start the paragraph over and then we'll...
No, I just, how long is that period of time?
What, 11 games?
Yeah.
11 weeks?
Yeah, so about 3 months.
That's ridiculous, because I fractured my...
Oh, 3 months almost.
And then I got my black belt and also fought in a couple tournaments. Not immediately, but like 4 to 6 weeks after.
Well, it's entirely possible that Michael Vick is a giant pussy.
I mean, yeah, it does not take longer than 6 weeks to, like, heal your fucking fibula.
Well, the only thing I can really think is that I know from speaking with one person I know who does sports treatment, sports medicine, I guess people heal in different speeds at different times. Two, The only thing I can say about football is that it's such a high impact sport, and his body type is so different that his broken fibula might have been different than. It's like when Bo Jackson dislocated his hip.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson dislocating his hip is different than me dislocating my hip, because he was so much bigger and so much more powerful that, one, they said he popped his hip back into place on the field, which evidently a doctor was like, no, that's impossible. Nobody's like strong enough to actually just pop their own hip back in. And two, evidently that like screwed up the injury worse. The fact that they said that because an ordinary person would have like fallen down when they got tackled, and he was able to like pull his leg through, which ended up dislocating his hip in the first place. It was basically, I'll send you a video of it. It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look bad. It does not look bad. It just looks like he stepped kind of short.
I have very big empathetic pain centers.
Okay.
On a side note, Bo Jackson's character in Tecmo Pro Bowl for the regular Nintendo is like off the chain.
Greatest sports character of all time, right?
Yeah. That besides Bill Clinton.
And like Spider-Man and Tony Hawk 2?
Yeah.
Spider-Man. Okay. Anyway, go ahead, because we
Despite leading the Falcons to an unexpected playoff appearance in 2002, Vic suffered a fractured right fibula, which forced him to miss 11 games out of the 2004 season, and absolutely nothing else happened with Michael Vick.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
However, Vic's off-the-field behavior proved more to be his downfall. Vic had numerous controversies leading up to his eventual release from the Falcons, including two men were arrested in Virginia for distributing marijuana in a truck registered to Vic. Vic received a stern talking to from Falcons coach Dan Reeves about the importance of reputation, choosing the right friends, and staying out of trouble for the good of the team. A woman named Sonia Elliott filed a civil suit against Vic in March of 2005, alleging that she had contracted genital herpes from the player. The suit alleged that Vic was seeking treatment for the condition under the alias Ron Mexico.
Okay, all right, I'm back, I'm sorry.
And thus knew of the condition. Vic settled out of court for an undisclosed amount. This led to many fans creating custom jerseys with the name Mexico over Vic's number 7.
Oh, God.
Which the NFL later banned. After losing to the New Orleans Saints in 2006, Vic made an obscene gesture towards fans booing him. He was fined $10,000 by the NFL and agreed to donate another $10,000 to charity. Vic was scheduled to appear on Capitol Hill in April of 2007 in an attempt to testify in favor of additional after-school funding. He missed a connecting flight from Atlanta, Georgia to Arlington, Virginia, as well as a subsequent flight that was booked for him later that evening. He also failed to appear at a congressional breakfast where he was to be honored for his foundation's works with after-school programs. His mother accepted the award on his behalf. Lastly, a drug investigation of Vic's cousin led to the discovery of evidence that Vic was running an extensive dogfighting ring out of a facility in rural southeastern Virginia known as Bad News Kennels. The facility housed dogfights as well as gambling and drug use.
How does this have to do with video games?
You'll see. Vic agreed to a plea bargain in which he pleaded guilty to conspiracy to travel in interstate commerce in aid of unlawful activities and to sponsor a dog in an animal fighting venture. Vic admitted to providing most of the financing and being involved in the destruction of 6 to 8 dogs for underperforming.
Oh my God. I'm really upset.
Vic eventually served 21 months in federal prison. Vic was released in the Falcons shortly before his prison sentence came to an end. He played for a number of teams until 2016, where he spent a full year in free agency and nobody hired him. He announced his official retirement from professional football in 2017. He also lobbied for House Bill 2492, the Animal Fighting Spectator Prohibition Act, which would make spectating illegal animal fighting a federal misdemeanor, as well as illegal for adults to bring children to said fights.
How about just not having, anyway.
I did think it was kind of funny that, like, they mentioned, like, by the way, it's illegal to bring kids to this illegal thing.
I'm so mad.
Yeah. Let's put aside the fact that Michael Vick is a giant piece of shit, but he can run a ball really far.
Make it better, Dean.
Donovan McNabb played for the Philadelphia Eagles starting in 1999. Where he led the team to their second Super Bowl in franchise history in 2004. He was the fourth quarterback in NFL history to amass more than 30,000 passing yards, 200 touchdowns, 3,000 rushing yards, and 20 rushing touchdowns. McNabb was featured on the cover of Madden NFL 2006. Expectations ran high for McNabb going into the 2005 until a groin injury placed him on the injured reserve list for the remainder of the season. The injury lingered into the next season, followed by McNabb tearing his ACL. McNabb's performance grew inconsistent, leading to him being traded to the Eagles in 2009 and eventual retirement in 2013. Sean Alexander rose to prominence very quickly within his role as a rusher for the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, Chris, you're the only one who knows anything. Making all these
I didn't know we were going to go through all of them.
We're not, like, well.
Chris is making all these faces every time anyone is announced, and I'm just sitting here like.
I can't remember who got.
I mean, I don't, admittedly, like, it was kind of hard, difficult for me to do all of this research because, like, I'm the guy that hates that, like, yeah, this player had, like, 4,000 rushing yards during games played on a Tuesday in the rain. And, like I said earlier in the recording, like, it doesn't seem like I was selective, but I was kind of selective.
No, I looked and I was like, okay, we're not talking about every single actual person who's been on the cover for sure.
Not all of them.
No.
But I think Meredith, are you getting the theme here?
That these people were basically doing bad things and getting on the cover of this video game?
Not close. We'll get to it at the end of this one. Sean Alexander rose to prominence in the Seahawks very quickly within his role as a rusher. In 2005, Alexander became the first player in NFL history to score 19 touchdowns, rushing or receiving, in 10 games. He was also named the NFL's most valuable player, leading the Seahawks to appearing in Super Bowl 40, and appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Alexander was featured on the cover of Madden NFL 2007. Within months of being announced as the cover athlete for Madden, Alexander suffered a broken foot, which sidelined him for the remainder of the 2006 season. More injuries followed in the 2007 season.
Oh, are they saying, like, that Madden is cursed?
Leading to him being cut from the Seahawks in 2008.
Because, like, not all of them have done bad things. Some of them just get injured a lot.
Interestingly enough, Alexander appears to be the first professional athlete to acknowledge what had become known as the Madden curse.
Okay.
In a 2007 interview following most of his injuries, the interviewer asked his opinion on the curse, to which Alexander replied, "Do you want to be hurt and on the cover, or just hurt?" San Diego Chargers running back LaDainian Tomlinson was approached about being the cover athlete for Madden NFL 2008. However, after outcry from fans in fear of the Madden curse, Tomlinson declined the offer, citing failed contract negotiations for his likeness. EA Sports then turned their attention to Tennessee Titans' Vince Young. Young graduated from University of Texas, where he earned the Davey O'Brien Award, given to the best college quarterback in the nation. His rookie year with the Titans allowed him to break nearly all records available, being awarded Offensive Rookie of the Year. Young was featured on the cover of Madden NFL 2008, an honor he shared with San Diego Chargers defensive Luis Castillo, who appears on the cover of the Spanish release of the game. Almost as if on cue, Young injured his quadricep early into the 2007 season, his first game missed due to an injury in his entire football career.
Why don't they just change the name of the video game?
from Madden.
Because it's Madden, y'all.
It's tradition now at this point.
It's almost like a sacrificial lamb now.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, too, when we get into the honorable mentions.
I mean, you got 30 minutes.
I'm going as fast as I can. Further injuries cleared the way for Young's transition to a backup and Kerry Collins being named starting quarterback for the rest of the 2008 season. Young was released from the Titans in 2011 and officially retired in 2014. On September 23rd, 2011, a registered sex offender named Stephen Pittman was arrested on felony fraud charges for impersonating Vince Young.
Okay.
That's not Young's fault. I just thought it was funny.
That's not Vince Young's fault.
No. Don't think Castillo was off the hook either. After being featured on the cover of Madden NFL 2008, Castillo suffered a knee injury which caused him to only appear in 10 games throughout the season. He was released by the Chargers in 2012. Castillo also admitted to steroid use early in his career.
Well, that's why he got the knee injuries.
Would make sense.
It wasn't the Madden curse, it was his frickin' steroids.
Well, granted, also the steroid use was in 1996 when it was still just Madden on the cover, so there's that. Brett Favre is largely regarded as one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history.
Unless
notable, what?
Nothing.
notable for his success in cold weather conditions, Favre. How the fuck do you say
Favre? It's supposed to be Favre, but it's.
People say Favre. I know
it's
that.
It's Favre at this point. Mans went to Wisconsin, and that became Favre.
Favre made the Pro Bowl 11 times, was named the NFL's most valuable player 3 times consecutively by the Associated Press, and led the Packers to a victory against the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 31. He also admitted to being addicted to Vicodin in 1996 and spent 46 days in rehab before the start of that season.
Hey, remember
that's actually pretty sad.
Remember when the Saints beat him in the Super Bowl?
Wait, are you talking about when he was with the Vikings?
Yes.
Oh yeah, that is a fantastic radio call from the Vikings radio announcer because he throws a very Brett Favre. You know what? Fuck it, I can do something with this pass that he should never have thrown, and it gets intercepted. And the dude is just like, Favre looking, flushed out of the pocket, throws back across his body, intercepted by Tracy Porter. I can't believe what I'm saying. His voice just goes, like, he's tackled there, and it's like, and he, what does he say? He's like, but you could take a knee and try a 50-yard field goal. This isn't Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl. And that was the last pass that Brett Favre, I believe, threw. No, that was the second to last year. The year after that, he was
my wrist during that game. I threw it up behind me, and I had these wall sconces. And I like smacked my arm on the wall sconces. Oh, it was good. It was good. Anyway, Dean, you were having a podcast, I believe.
Brett Favre was featured on the cover of Madden NFL 2009 as a testament to his storied career. After he tearfully announced his retirement from the NFL in early 2008.
Oh, I looked this up. This is funny.
Was this his first retirement?
Also in 2008, Favre was investigated by the NFL for allegedly sending sexually explicit text messages and pictures to host Jen Sturger. NFL forensics analysts were unable to conclude definitively that the photographs came from Favre. He was found not to be in violation of the NFL's personal conduct regulations, but was fined $50,000 for failing to cooperate with the investigation. Suddenly, Favre decided he wasn't done. He signed with the Minnesota Vikings for the 2009 season before a shoulder injury forced him to sit out a game, despite the game being delayed for a day because of the collapse of the Metrodome roof.
Oh, Jesus.
That place
filed retirement. That's not really Favre's fault. I just thought it was funny that the roof collapsed.
That place just sucked, though.
He filed retirement papers with the NFL in January of 2011. He played golf with President Donald Trump in July of 2020.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Huh.
Okay.
I didn't know until I saw the picture of the two of them on the
Wikipedia. I mean, let's be real. The amount of times the man has played golf this year, I mean, everyone could fucking play with him.
I was going to say, yeah. Like, I could have accidentally played golf with Donald Trump at some point.
I just had one too many screwdrivers and
no, like, I could be on the golf course and he could just show up on the golf course, I bet. Like, I could be on some random golf course in Chicago and you go, all of a sudden Donald Trump is there because that
man. You're going to build a wall on this golf course.
He's played 365 or more days of golf in his tenure. So one of his years has been spent literally playing golf. Anyway, you were having a podcast.
Trash ass dude.
Drew Brees joined the New Orleans Saints in 2006 after playing for the San Diego Chargers for 4 seasons.
I'm listening.
Amira just said, I'm in here now.
Chris, do you want to say anything about Drew Brees?
Drew Brees was, you know what's wild? Drew Brees went to Purdue, which was a football quarterback school. They had Bob Greasy, I think, or Brian Greasy. But Drew Brees was really good at Purdue, and then he graduated, and they had Kyle Orton, who was better.
I remember Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton was better at Purdue than Drew Brees was. So when the Bears got him, I was like, we got an even better quarterback than Drew Brees.
And yet.
Yeah, it didn't shake out like that. But I have banged with Drew Brees for the majority of his career. I've had no beef with him. And
well, that's about to change.
Well, I mean, of all the things that I've heard that he's done, his one thing, he fixed his mind up pretty quick. So I can't really hate on him.
We'll talk about that.
Cool.
Brees currently holds the NFL records for career pass completions, career pass attempts, career pass completion percentage, career passing yards, and career touchdown passes. The article that I got a lot of this information on, which is on digitaltrends.com, referred to Brees as pass happy.
Okay.
I just thought that was funny. Brees led the Saints to a Super Bowl victory against the Indianapolis Colts in the 2009 season.
That was nice.
Brees was featured on the cover of Madden NFL 2011. While largely able to circumvent the effects of the Madden curse, Brees has run afoul of some controversy. Most recently, Brees, a Republican, went on record to state that he felt that kneeling during the national anthem was disrespectful to the American flag.
I remember this, yep.
After several of his teammates and other colleagues expressed anger at the statement, Brees apologized the next day like a little bitch.
Well, I mean, better apologize, A. And honestly, I had a conversation after this happened with one of my friends who's a big Saints fan and a big Brees fan. And I was like, he was trying to walk the line and you cannot walk the line here. Like,
you cannot.
You're either over here or you're over here. And by trying to be in the middle, you put yourself in a bad place, Mr. Drew. And I can't remember what we were saying, but I was like, you know what? He's going to be in the doghouse for a while, and, like, he should be. And maybe he'll have some actions now, speak a little louder than words, but he needs to put his actions where his apology is what he needs to do.
Yeah, that's really the ideal thing. And he did... The problem is that a lot of people are placated by social media posts, and I know he posted on social media pretty soon after that, like, you know, my teammates showed me the light, and this is something that you cannot do. Which, to be fair, since the people who are stupid also follow social media, they were like, oh, I'm done with Drew Brees now. If he's on the side of this, you know, if he's on the side of this Black Lives Matter thing, and he's, you know, what happened? How could you fold? So he's still, you're right though. He needs to practice it. Just like everybody needs to practice what they're saying, if they're saying it.
Right.
I mean, honestly,
yep.
I don't mean this to come off controversial. If you're an asshole, be an asshole. Like, straight up be an asshole. If you're going to come up and you're going to say, nah, man, the police are right in everything they do, don't be in the middle like, man, I think there's sometimes, just be all the way straight. Like, nah, I bang with police completely. Like, I saw police throw a baby over the rail at Niagara Falls once. That baby had just stolen something. They were totally justified. Like, be on the wrong side
if the baby had just followed the rules.
Right. If the baby had just, like, laid down and complied, the baby wouldn't have been thrown over a waterfall. You know what I'm saying? So if people... Right, the baby didn't follow directions. Police told that baby to get down 3 times, and he was just like, "Baba." Nobody understands what that means. Nobody knows what that means. That is not compliance.
The baby was like, "Baba," and the cop was like, yeah. "He has a gun."
He pulled the pacifier out. And later, though, it was just like we reacted. We couldn't see what it was. He had an object in his hand. It was a metallic object.
Could have been a rattle. We don't know.
Tensions were high.
We've seen, like, our officers. Some of our officers have been in combat, and they in places they have rattles that have bullets in them. So that that rattle could have had some munitions inside it. We didn't know. Our officers are under a lot of stress.
One of our officers had been a baby. So he's not against babies.
Right.
The sheriff saw an episode of Bones last night. And Dr. Temperance Brennan found ball bearings in very similar to what would be found in a rattle.
They were used to commit a murder.
Oh, my God. No, like, this is what I think he was trying to do, and I don't agree with it, but, like, I remember right when all this came out, you know, there's a whole bunch of, it's drilled into you when you're in fitness and I'm sure in sports. It's like, you do not say anything political on your pages. You just don't. You're supposed to be all bright skies and sunny clouds. And then I was having
every day's a party.
So having a discussion with another friend of mine who is a fitness instructor. And she was like, you know, thank you for saying what you said. Cause I had jumped in and tried to, like, amplify her signal and stuff like that. And I was like, thank you for saying what you said. And I know how hard it is when you're in our position, because it's like, it's indoctrinated when you start. And she said, you know, I found this quote that really resonated with me. And she shared the quote with me, and I'm not going to say it exactly, because obviously I'm speaking from memory, but it was something like, if someone is silent because of their business, that just means they care more about their money than your life. And so I think you need, like, when you look at what Drew Brees is doing, it's like, you're trying to walk the line, Drew, but now is not the time to walk the line. Now is the time to, like, take a stand, and you don't need to be trying to placate people that you don't agree with. So either, like you said, either be an asshole or actually, like, stand up for your convictions. You cannot waffle here.
Yeah.
And if the curse of Madden made him do that, then freaking good. Good curse. And I love the Saints and all that shit, but, you know, people got to be people.
It's true. You're a person. Yeah. It's wild, because when the lockout, before the NFL lockout, the Saints played the first game of either the first regular season game or the first preseason game of that year. Oh, it might have been against a divisional opponent, and I know NFC South teams and fans just like despise each other, so it might have been against like the Bucks or the Panthers. But the labor negotiations were up in the air, and all the players came out to the center of the field and like joined, either circled up or joined joined hands. And I think Roger Goodell was there, and they looked at his box, and they like raised a fist or something. So if you can be that, you're not. And Drew Brees is obviously there because he was the Saints captain and had been the Saints captain for some time. So if you can be so unilaterally united on that, on let me get money,
right,
and let me get pensions and all these things that we need, and let me be frank, the NFL is a dangerous sport. Players need to be as protected as possible. If you can be as unilaterally united on that, you can be unilaterally united on thinking that the guys in your locker room, the guys who save you from getting destroyed from sacks and make you look good, all of your offensive linemen, you can unilaterally say, hey, this isn't disrespect. Because that's all the question was. It's like, is kneeling during the anthem disrespectful? Nobody even gave him a chance to say, what do you think about the actions of the police? It was just, what do you think about kneeling during the national anthem? Which is not a big deal. So,
I was about to say, last I heard, like, kneeling is a sign of deference.
That's the whole point. That's why it switched to what it is. So, yes, if that was the curse of Madden for Drew Brees, then he got off very light.
Right.
Yeah, he did. We're going to move on to some... I'm not going to go through the rest of the history, but I do have some honorable mentions that I'd like to include.
Okay.
Calvin Megatron Johnson, cover athlete of Madden NFL 2013, notable for possibly being the first exception to the Madden curse. Johnson went on to have what was possibly his best year with the Detroit Lions during the 2012 season. He recorded 1,964 yards receiving throughout the season, a record previously held by Jerry Rice. There's a really funny video on YouTube. There's a guy I really like. Meredith really doesn't. His name is Video Game Donkey.
I hate him.
Oh, I've heard of him. Yeah, you showed me this guy.
He made a video about...
hate his voice.
Jerry Rice made a Wii game about playing football with dogs. And, like, his dog is, like, the cover athlete of the game. Jerry Rice and Nidus is football. Really, I included Calvin Johnson because his nickname is Megatron. And the fact that the record was previously held by Jerry Rice pretty much... let me bring Jerry Rice and Nidus's football with dogs.
Jerry Rice and Nidus's dog football. Nope, it's a dog football game. Never mind.
Yeah. Jerry Rice did an interview about the game, and it's hilarious because like Jerry Rice doesn't answer any of the questions directly. Go ahead.
Can I say one quick thing since we brought up both Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson? The Detroit Lions have won at least one NFL championship, but because the NFL is the way it is, NFL championships are distinct from Super Bowl championships.
Okay.
So the Detroit Lions have never won a Super Bowl.
Ah.
And even though they're one of the oldest franchises in the NFL.
Haven't the Cleveland Browns also never won a Super Bowl?
No, they have not. The Cincinnati Bengals haven't. The Buffalo Bills haven't. But the Detroit Lions, I don't think have actually ever been to the Super Bowl either.
Mm.
The Bengals have. I don't think the Browns have. But Detroit's playoff futility is also fairly well noted. They haven't been to the playoffs in, it might be 30 years now. Like you said, Barry Sanders... even though he was one of the best and most dynamic athletes in the NFL in sports, for most of his career, never went to the playoffs. And I think Calvin Johnson also never went to the playoffs. It was pointed out on another person's videos, who I'm fairly sure you would hate, Meredith, urinating tree. The Lions have had two generational urinating trees is his handle, urinating tree.
What? Okay.
The Lions have had two generational athletes retire in their prime because they were like, I don't want to do this with y'all anymore.
Odell Beckham Jr., Madden NFL 2016, while being selected as the 2016 cover, didn't appear to have any effect on his on-field performance. On-field anger issues resulted in him being suspended for one game. Despite this, he was selected for the season's Pro Bowl, his second consecutive selection. Tom Brady, Madden NFL 2018. While Brady himself seems to have scoffed in the face of the Madden curse, his team, the New England Patriots, are no strangers to controversy, including the 2015 Deflategate scandal, where Brady was accused of purposefully deflating footballs during the 2015 AFC Championship.
I remember this. I could not believe the amount of time that was spent on examining football.
Me neither. Like I said, it kind of goes back to my dislike of being like, oh, this guy passed this many yards on like a Friday when he had like Mexican food the last night. Sometimes I feel like they just get way, way, way too deep into the minutiae.
I mean, I agree. You shouldn't let the air out of footballs.
And, well, yeah, there's that. But then I also have to take a step back and I have to be like, yo, when they were doing Moment 37 at Evo, like, and they did the Daigo parry, which that guy has like 1/10 of a second in order to react like 15 times in a row. That's crazy. That's a Street Fighter thing, in case you guys don't know. Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor.
What? Ronda Rousey, now, I did not like her.
Well,
she was just not, like, you know what? A lot of martial artists, even when they're badasses, are nice and respectful. She was not respectful for frickin' anyone, at least as far as I saw, and she fell hard when she fell. Like, she couldn't psychologically handle it.
She's really big into Pokemon.
We didn't see her a whole lot after she had that loss.
While not confined to the sport of American football, the curse seems to have leaked out into the world of Ultimate Fighting. Almost immediately after being announced as cover athletes for EA's UFC 2, Ronda Rousey was demolished by Holly Holm in UFC 138.
Holly Holm was nice.
193. And Conor McGregor submitted to Nate Diaz in UFC 196.
I will say that Ronda Rousey, I thought Ronda Rousey's public arrogance was the typical fighting sports grandstanding that comes with pre-fight interviews and press conferences.
And maybe I didn't see some stuff, but most fighters that I've seen have had some kind of respect for their opponent. Or
there's that one guy that like gives flowers to his opponent.
Manny Pacquiao would like have people to his place to train and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, Manny Pacquiao also hates gay people.
I feel like, oh, that's right.
True. Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I just never heard any nice, like, anything about her being good to anyone she competed with. It was all about destroy them. And again, maybe I'm not seeing, or maybe I didn't hear those parts, but I just was like, you know, someday she's going to go down, and I would be interested to see how she handles it then. And then she did.
On the other hand, Conor McGregor is an asshole.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, so is she. She's an asshole.
In terms of comparing the two.
I mean, I think she's an asshole too, but...
You're kind of playing the part. Tiger Woods!
Asshole!
Tiger Woods, y'all!
Similar to John Madden being the face of EA's American football franchise, Tiger Woods endorsed EA's PGA Tour golf franchise. Tiger Woods' PGA Tour was released in annual installments until 2014, when Rory McIlroy's PGA Tour was released.
Huff, I hate that dude.
Who?
Rory McIlroy. Dude,
I was doing the research and I was like, Rory McIlroy, who the hell is he?
Ashley Slotweiler is in love with Rory. Shout out my good friend Ashley. But she's in love with a Huff dude.
According to EA, the decision to split was mutual. Woods' widely publicized extramarital affair in 2009 was apparently not a factor.
I'm surprised.
All right, so that's the history of the Madden curse. Or I called it the EA Sports curse. But yeah.
I feel like some people got their comeuppance, if indeed a curse it was.
I was about to say, it's like, I felt like you might, I was visualizing this entire night, like, in my head, and I felt like, Meredith, you would think, like, oh man, getting the cover of this game franchise must be like the start of the bad thing. But I was like, no, it's more like the beginning of the end for the person. Right. Rather than it causing bad things to happen.
Except for that one dude.
That one dude?
Yeah, the one dude you talked about who, like, suddenly had a really good...
Oh, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Calvin. Oh, yeah. Megatron!
How could I forget?
We don't... I was going to say, we don't have enough time to make my public thoughts on Michael Vick, but suffice it to say, that's such a fire starter. Michael, okay. We don't have time. We don't have time.
Dog abuse.
It's going to be an argument. We don't have time.
I mean,
I think it boils down to, like, what you're paid to do professionally versus your, like, personal life.
But where do we draw the line there?
When you serve 21 months in federal prison, people can't be like, he shouldn't have gotten worse after that.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's what, because I was at Bradley, and I was sitting in the cafeteria, and they were like, he's going to be charged and go to jail. And people were very much, people were on their capital punishment train. I will say that. They were very much about it.
I don't remember. See, so I didn't follow sports, so all I heard was this guy had the dog fight in the ring, and I was like, well, that is bad, and he hurt animals, and that is bad, and so he should also feel pain. But I didn't follow it, like, much more than that, I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
So that's where I stand. So you probably know a whole lot more than I do.
So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, there's a number of ways that you can reach out to us. You can visit us on Facebook by searching Opening Stage VGH, and our Twitter handle is @StageVGH. You can email us at openingstagevgh@gmail.com, or you can call or text us at area code 615-933-3453. Chris, do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
My man James K and I, the Young God, do the Chicago Sky podcast, and we will be doing our season wrap up in a few days. So follow at the Skyhookin' on Twitter, and check out the Skyhook podcast wherever podcasts are sold.
And what's it about?
Apple Podcast. Oh, the Chicago Sky and some WNBA talks, Women's National Basketball Association news. I mean, the WNBA playoffs are going on. Everybody out there listening, if you play video games and you like sports even a little bit, support all women's sports out there. It's important. If you talk about it, then people will be forced to talk about it too. And finally, at some point, national sports media will cover it the way it should be covered, which they're starting to do, but they will do it to a greater degree. And then at some point, the shadows will not be large enough for the sandwich for the Make Me a Sandwich crowd to hide in. So support all women's sports. Check out the Skyhook podcast. Check out women's sports news in general.
I love that. I didn't know that.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. James is a really good, very earnest guy, too.
If we have any listeners in a given town, please reach out and support a women's team of your choice.
Definitely.
Meredith, do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
All I've got is my blog right now. Other things on the back burner, but MeredithRayLyons.com, Ray is R-A-E, /faster.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining me today. I hope this has been a fun journey through sports history. My name is Dean, and this has been Opening Stage VGH, the Video Game History Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Thanks. Chris is waving goodbye.
I forgot. I keep forgetting it's audio. Wave!
Can I say something real quick?
If it's about how GoldenEye sucks, then yeah.
I'm going to edit this out, but I feel it's important to let you guys know. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died.
My friends had just told me about it.
Oh, shit. God damn it.
Like, let's raise a glass to the...
You know what to do?
Oh, yeah.
Raise a glass.
Fuck 2020.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I know. Like, she couldn't... I'm really worried about my reproductive rights now. Not that I'm planning on reproducing or have to worry about that, but I'm worried about female stuff.
Just well, the mission is all that more important.
Yep. We just have to keep fighting.
Okay. So we will go on from here. Okay. Back into the fray from here. So, bye.